So reading from Bhagavatam, chapter 48, Krishna pleases his devotees. And here we have the story of Kubja. In the first verse, it's described Krishna's being glorified. Bhagavan Sri Krishna's being glorified. Sarvatma Sarvadarshanaha. He sees everything of everyone. Sarvatma Sarvadarshanaha. He sees everything about all souls. And Prabhupada translates Sarvatma Sarvadarshana as the omniscient or all-knowing soul of all that be. Certainly English falls short of Sanskrit. Sarvatma Sarvadarshana. So much Sarvadarshana, he sees everything. And he went, because the first verse of each chapter of the Bhagavatam is usually a summary of the content which will be unfold. So here, Sukadeva Goswami is telling Parikshit. Now, Parikshit, I'm going to tell you the story about Kubja. This is Krishna's Mathura Lila, Mathura. And he says that this chapter is called Krishna Pleases His Devotees. So this is the example. He even pleases a servant girl, Sairandriya. That's another name for Kubja. She's called Trivakra. Trivakra means three bends, three folds, like Tribhanga, Trivakra. Kamataptaya, she is burning in the fire of lust. So Krishna desired to satisfy the serving girl Trivakra, who was troubled by lust. Thus he went to her house. Fair mentioning about in Sanskrit, it says Kamatapta, like Taptakund, or Tapasya. Tapasya comes from the root word tap. Tap means fire. Are burning. And everyone has had the experience of being burned, because everyone grows up, and part of growing up means to be burned. I'm burned by the prabdha karmas, the greed or the anger, the lust, envy. Even if someone may not be so overtly lusty, but they may be subject to anger. Somebody insults them, and what did you say? Hey! And they feel this fire. Even when you express anger, you can feel some fire moving in your rib cage or in your brain. And you're being affected by it, these pushings. So this is the expression is there in English, burning with envy. So this is the burning with greed, burning with envy, burning with lust. The body is a burning unit. The body is always burning. Combustion. We have fires in our body. Our body has fires. Jataragni. Jataragni is the fire of digestion. There's diagni, akagni, jataragni. The fire in the eye is called akagni. There's a fire in the eye. When a person is old, you see the fire goes down. It's maybe not so clear because we don't live amongst old people or watch people get old. But it even happens with animals. When I see here in the village, I've been here for several years in the village, and there's the village dogs. And then dogs live about 10 years or so. They go through their birth, growth, byproducts, dwindling, all these diseases, all these stages they go through, and then finally annihilation. So our one dog, Ramu, we met Ramu some years ago, and his eyes were like bright. You know, dog has not such great eyes, but the brightness of the life energy, that fire in the eye was there. But now in the last year, he's aged tremendously, and he's all withdrawn and just very tight. All his bones are tight. You can just feel the pain he feels just to walk and sit down is all skin and bones, no muscle, no fat, no flesh. And his eyes are actually like there's no fire pushing them out, just like his eyes are withdrawing into their eye sockets and they're getting very dull, and it's almost like the jiva is withdrawing from the senses. The life energy is withdrawing from all the senses. You can't see, you can't hear. So his eyes are becoming very dull. So the akagni, the fire of the eye, this, like they say, the sparkling eyes of youth. Like a man falls in love and the girl's eyes are so shiny and sparkling, but when he come back and see her when she's 60 years old, how much her eyes sparkle. Same eyeball, but there's no sparkle. Sparkle is fire, brilliance. Then there's diagni, the fire of the intelligence. And even they say firing, nerves are the synaptic nerves, the firing between the nerve endings. And they have some different medicines to speed up to offset senility, and they have different theories about aging, what causes aging, and why people become senile and forgetful and amnesia and all these. So these are also addressed in Ayurvedic medicine from thousands of years ago by Charak Muni and others, Shushruta Muni. And they have medicines specifically to increase the fire in the brain. So we are a burning unit. There's fire. Without fire, like we say, oh, I don't have any fire, I have no digestive fire, or I feel cold. So fire is part of our existence. We're burning. We're like a burning unit. Now the purport of Vishwanath, he says in this chapter, Krishna gratifies Kubja, visits Akrura, and sends him to Hastinapur after hearing his praises. Krishna had already reconciled everything in that regard. The word Bhagavan in this verse means the Supreme Lord. It indicates that Krishna, by his inconceivable powers and opulences, had already gone to Braj in a separate manifestation, even while continuing to live in Mathura. It is implied that Krishna did this to satisfy everyone's desire, since he is the supreme soul of all, Sarvatma. To reconcile the situation for Uddhava, Krishna appeared as omniscient, Sarvadarshana, explaining to him the confidential mystery of his dual manifestations, while appearing to Uddhava in his manifestation of separation. Then, in order to keep the promise he had previously made, Krishna went with Uddhava to the house of Kubja, as stated in the words beginning, Shairandriya, which means serving girl. This is a continuation from the previous chapters when Uddhava went to Vrindavan on the behest of Krishna to deliver a message to the Vrijavasis, a message of consolation. And that's described in chapter 46 and 47 is the Brahmar Gita. And when Uddhava went to Vrindavan, then he saw everyone was happy and joyful because they were experiencing Krishna was there. They knew Krishna was there, they were experiencing Krishna's presence. Then the next minute, and then within a few hours, then he saw everyone crying and lying outside their houses, and they hadn't changed their clothes and so many things. And they hadn't changed their clothes since Krishna actually left on the chariot, because their clothes were containing the fragrance of Krishna's body. Uddhava, he actually was wondering, what am I seeing? I'm seeing Vrijavasis in union with Krishna, and I'm seeing Vrijavasis in separation from Krishna. So what had happened is that Krishna was in Mathura, but then he was simultaneously manifesting himself in Vrindavan so that Uddhava could experience Vrindavan when Krishna was there. So there was, which was told in the previous chapters, there was two Nanda Maharajas, there was two Yashodas and two Krishnas and two Radharanis and two everybody. One in union, experiencing Krishna's presence in Vrindavan, his non-departure, and the other Parishad or family member or associate experienced Krishna separation. So there's a joyful Nanda and a Sukha Nanda and a Dukha Nanda, Sukhi Nanda and Dukhi Nanda, and Sukhi Radha and Dukhi Radha. She was happy, there was a happy Radha in Krishna's presence, and there was an unhappy Radha in Krishna's separation. So he saw that when this chapter opens up, it says Sarvatma Sarvadarshana. So Krishna was asking Uddhava, so what did you see? What did you learn? What did you experience? But he's all-knowing. He's omniscient. And he was already there. He was there when Uddhava was there. So there was nothing really to reconcile the situation. Uddhava appeared as omniscient, explained to him the confidential mystery of his dual manifestations while appearing to Uddhava in his manifestation of separation. So that's kind of repeat. So this is second verse. Maharho pasaker adyam kamopayo paprimhitam muktadhama patakabir pitana shayana ashane dupe surabibir dipe shagandher abhimanditam. Oh, actually, this is when Krishna actually meets with Kuja and comes to her house, and we see all the different appointments. But I want to so we're digressing a little bit, but we started with chapter 48 about Kuja, Krishna finally meeting Kuja. But this is the continuation of a story that begins in chapter 42 of the 10th canto, which is called Breaking of the Sacrificial Bow, the Shiv Danu that Kamsa had on display in Mathura, the entrance to the wrestling arena. Krishna and Balaram, when they were entering Mathura, then they met different people along the way. They met a dhobi who had all kinds of fancy silk clothes and chadars and things. And then Krishna stopped him and said, where are you taking all these fancy silk clothes? Why don't you give some to me and Balaram? He said, no, these are Kamsas. These are the clothes of the emperor, the Samrat Kamsa. What audacity do you have to even ask for these clothes? And Krishna said, no, it would be a good idea if you gave us these clothes. It would really benefit you if you would give some charity to us. Well, he didn't understand, of course, their identity. Sankarshan and Vasudev, Sri Krishna, Balaram. So he said, what are you upstarts? You know, I'll have you arrested. And then Krishna slapped him with the back of his hand and his head fell off. And then he and Balaram and all the boys started decorating themselves with fancy. They took cheddars and made turbans out of them, and they were really in Braj Bhav, decorating themselves in a very spontaneous and beautiful way, and just prancing into Mathura like that, to further entice and attract the eyes of all the ladies of Mathura. So along the way, then they came across this lady, Sri Shuka Vacha, Atav Rajanra Rajapatena Madhava, Striyam Grihitanga Vilepa Bhajanam, Striyam Grihitanga Vilepa Bhajanam, Vilokya Kubjam Yuvatim Varananam, Rapachayantim Prahasan Rasaprada. So this is a description of Krishna's meeting with this Kubja. It says Varanananam, means she had a very beautiful face. As Krishna walked down the king's road, the Rajapat, it's like the Mahatma Gandhi road. This is the main road, Rajapat. Lord Madhava then saw a young hunchbacked woman with an attractive face. Grihitanga Vilepa Bhajanam. She carried a tray of fragrant ointments as she walked along. The bestower of the ecstasy of love smiled and inquired from her as follows. It's interesting. Prapacha Yantim Prahasan Rasaprada. Rasaprada. Maybe say Namo Mahavananyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate. Krishna Prema Prada. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the distributor of, and giver of Krishna Prema. But that Krishna that he's giving is himself, Rasaraj Mahabhav. Rasaraj Sri Krishna Mahabhav Srimati Radha Rani. So here it is Rasaprada. So Rasaraj can give Ras. So he's Rasaprada. He gives Ras. When one contacts Krishna, then he gets Ras, awakens his ability to love Krishna, receive Krishna's love, and the bhakti ras, prema ras, the bestower of the ecstasy of love. He inquired from her as follows. So Vishnu says that this chapter describes the curing of the hunchback Kuja, breaking the bow, the slaying of Kamsa's soldiers, Kamsa seeing bad omens in the festivity at the wrestling arena. Kuja now, finally, this Krishna has met Kuja in Mathura initially when he went there, and then he promised to come and see her, so now he's visiting her house. It says, Trivakra Kuja's home was opulently appointed with expensive furnishings and replete with sensual accoutrements meant to inspire sexual desire. There were banners, rows of string pearls, canopies, fine beds and sitting places, and also fragrant incense, oil lamps, flower garlands, and aromatic sandalwood paste. Kuja's house was filled with abundant paraphernalia appropriate for sexual enjoyment, including explicit sexual pictures on the walls and herbal aphrodisiacs to excite lust. So I guess this is Krishna's internal energy. He's arranged all this just for his pleasure. Yeah, because she's Satyavama. When Trivakra saw Krishna arriving at her house, she at once rose from her seat in a flurry. Coming forward graciously with her girlfriend, she respectfully greeted Lord Achyuta by offering him an excellent seat and other articles of worship. Uddhava also received a seat of honor since he was a saintly person, but he simply touched it with his hand and sat on the floor. Krishna, imitating the manners of human society, quickly made himself comfortable on an opulent bed. He sat on the ground implies that Uddhava felt it was improper for him to, as Krishna's servant, to sit on a seat offered by the hand of his beloved. Uddhava touched the asan with his hand to honor it, to honor Kuja's offer, and then sat on the floor. The word shayanam, bed, means that Krishna made himself comfortable on a bed located in the inner chambers of Trivakra's house. So apparently they entered the house together, and they were offered a seat in the anteroom or the greeting room, and then Uddhava sat down on the floor, and then Krishna just went on into the inner chambers and relaxed on some bed there. Trivakra prepared herself by bathing, anointing her body, and dressing in fine garments, by putting on jewelry, garlands, and perfume, by chewing betel nut, drinking fragrant liquor, and so on. She then approached Lord Madhava with shy, playful smiles and coquettish glances. Kuja prepared her body for enjoyment by applying aguru perfume and other items. Ahuya kantam navasangamauriya vishankitam kankana bhushite kare pragriya shayam arivesha ramaya rame nulay parhapana punya leshaya. Calling forward his beloved, his kanta, who was anxious and shy at the prospect of this new contact, the Lord pulled her body by her bangled hands onto the bed. Thus he enjoyed with that beautiful girl whose only trace of piety was her having offered ointment to the Lord. The two words in this Sanskrit verse, Navasangama Riya, shy with a new contact, and Vishankitam, fearful, indicates that Trivakra was in fact a virgin girl at this point. Though Kuja was beautiful, she was protected because of her hunchback. Kuja had accumulated a trace of piety because she had offered unguents to Krishna. But she did not have heaps of pious credits like the sadhana siddhagopis in Braj or the women of Mathura. Sananga tapta kuchayor urasas tatakshanor. Simply by smelling the fragrance of Krishna's lotus feet, Trivakra cleansed away the burning lust Cupid had aroused in her breast, chest, and eyes. With her two arms, she embraced between her breasts her lover, Sri Krishna, the personification of bliss, and thus gave up her long-standing distress. Says Kuja removed the burning pain of her breast, chest, and eyes by touching and smelling Krishna's lotus feet. Having thus gotten the hard-to-get Supreme Lord by the simple act of offering him body ointment, unfortunate Trivakras submitted to that Lord of Freedom the following request. Purport. Srimati Trivakra prayed to Krishna, her exclusive Lord, Kaivalyanatham, "Please enjoy only with me and not with any other woman." Because Krishna was not prepared to grant such a benediction, Trivakra is described here as unfortunate. Because Krishna has quite a lot of associates to serve and please. Trivakra said, "Oh, beloved, please stay here with me for a few more days and enjoy. I cannot bear to give up your association, O lotus-eyed one." Trivakra said, "Please stay for some days in my inner chambers and do not go out. All arrangements have been made in this house for drinking and eating. Please stay." Promising her the fulfillment of this lusty desire, considerate Krishna, the Lord of all beings, paid Trivakra his respects and then returned with Uddhava to his own supremely opulent residence. The words "kama varam dattva" indicated that Krishna promised Trivakra he would fulfill her lusty desires even though she was a common woman. Honoring her, manada, means that before leaving, Krishna took the opportunity to show her respect and told Kuja, "Continuing to indulge in enjoying unrestrictedly will not be desirable for us because it will simply create evil gossip." In other words, I can't stay here for days and days and days as people start spreading rumors about me. Krishna came and left with Uddhav in order to prevent such gossip, since Uddhava was famous everywhere as the crest jewel of proper behavior. From previous explanations, it should be understood that Kubja is an expansion of Krishna's Bhu Shakti. So all these elaborate arrangements were simply meant to please Krishna, the perfumes and bathing, and which is all the same things that the queens of Dwarka would also do. But her motivation is called Sadarani Rati. There's Samanjasa Rati, Sadarani Rati, and Samartha Rati. The comparison, the rishis compare the depth of the love of the Brajagopis, which is called Samartha, and then the love of the queens, which is called Samanjasa, and the love of the Kuja is called Sadarani. Sadarani, which means ordinary, commonplace. And Samartha means everything's for Krishna, nothing for me. And Samanjasa means that I'm loving Krishna and serving him as a queen of Dwarka, but I want some pleasure. But Kuja's, she's not thinking so much of Krishna's pleasure, just thinking of her own. But her speciality is she doesn't want, Krishna's the only person on her mind. She doesn't have any attraction or interest in anyone else. She wants to get happiness, but only from Krishna. And she can give him happiness, okay, but that's secondary. And the gopis of Braj, they want Shlishivam Padratam Panashtamam Adarshamam Krishna, they have the deepest love. They only want Krishna's happiness. No matter what happens to us, we don't care whether he breaks us or kicks us or throws us or rejects us or runs away for 100 years. We still love him. We'll never diminish in our love for him. We only exist for his happiness and pleasure, every aspect of ourselves. And the queens of Dwarka, Samanjasarati, they're thinking that we only want to please Krishna, but we derive some pleasure from serving him also. So Kuja is a very fortunate person. And Krishna is saying she wanted Krishna to stay there longer because, as I said, she was not thinking so much of Krishna's happiness, but more of her own happiness. And she was certainly deriving lots of happiness by associating with Krishna. But he went there, he fulfilled his word. Krishna always fulfills his word. And he said, "I will visit your house." So he came, but he didn't come alone, and he didn't stay for very long enough for any rumors to spread. And he went with Uddhava, who was so respected, such a respected and learned, senior. It's like practically going with Uddhava is like going with your father. When Krishna went with Uddhava, it's like just like going somewhere with your father. If like you go to some lady's house with your father, they think, "Oh, it must be some relative or whatever this, that." People won't say much, but if you stay there for 4 or 5 days, they think, "What's going on now?" So Krishna, So no one could say anything. He went with Uddhava, who's a famous minister. He's a disciple of Brihaspati and such a learned and intelligent person, so he's the expert chaperone. He didn't stay very long. The story of Puja. Well, there's some different lessons, of course. One is, of course, the chapter is titled Krishna Pleases His Devotees. Yayatamam prapatyanse tamsataiva bhajamiham. There's a lot of things we can gain from this. Is that whatever little thing you get to give to Krishna, you certainly get return. You get return for it. And she was, because she's Bhu Shakti, and she says she's an expansion of Satyabhama and Prithvi. Prithvi means Mother Bhumi, the goddess of earth. So we discussed this before in the previous recording. But what is the best quality of the earth?
To offer its.
I mean, there's, like, just for example, they say that there's certain qualities in water, certain qualities in fire, but earth has all five qualities. It has form. Right, it has form, it has taste, mm-hmm. has sound. But the unique thing that earth has that fire and water and ether don't have is gandha, smell. Right? There's five elements, Mahapanchabhuta. And all, that's like they say, there's like Madhuri Rasa has all the other rasas contained within it. But if you just have Shantaras is like ether or something. It's only sound, but no form. No taste and no sight and all these things. So earth has all five. But the speciality of earth, of the earth element, is smell, fragrance. Water doesn't smell, fire doesn't smell, air doesn't smell, ether doesn't smell. Yeah. But earth does. So, and what's the most fragrant product in the earth? The sandalwood. It's generally accepted. Sandalwood is produced from the earth. Naturally, it's not some processing where you take some flour and make some rose oil or something. But roses smell nice, but sandalwood is the most attractive and soothing and satisfying fragrance of the earth. And what was she carrying? She was carrying a tray of sandalwood paste being offered to the king. But she immediately recognized that I'm offering these things to this master, King Kamsa, but I should actually offer these things to the King of all kings, to the Supreme Master, the Nath, Gopal Nath, Srinathji, the Supreme Lord of every creature, who is, as the verse says, Sarvatma Sarvadarshana. So she had this much intelligence that whatever she had in her hand, the best thing she had in her hand, the best thing she had to offer, the best thing she had to offer. She recognized, whatever I have, I'm offering to Kamsa. He's a limited king of this world, but I see this Krishna, he's a supreme. And the best thing I have is my chandan, so I'm offering the best thing I have to Krishna. She immediately offered it, smeared it on his body. So that's one lesson, that whatever best thing we have, we should offer that to Krishna. And the best thing we have is our pran. That phrase is there in Hindi. Man tan dan Krishna samarpan. Or sometimes they say Guru samarpan. That's the whole lock, stock, and barrel. Man tan dan, our mind. Our mind, man means our mind, heart, self-respect. Man. Or man. Man or man, however you want to say it. You say man or man. So man means heart, heart, consciousness. Mind, and man means respect, our dignity, our self-respect, our self-worth. Tan means tanu, tanu means body, and dan means our acquirements, our assets. What are your assets? Intellectual assets, or financial assets, or real estate? It means your assets, your dan. Doesn't just mean paisa. It means your wealth. What is your wealth? Your wealth is your youth. Your wealth is your mental power. Your wealth is your artistic power. Your wealth is so many things that can be your wealth. Man, tan, dan, Krishna, samarpan, arpan, samarpan. All those things should be offered to Krishna, a complete offering of, to Krishna, worship Krishna completely. So that her body was not much to offer because it was all hunchback. But she had enough intelligence to realize that this thing I'm carrying for this Kamsa, she was not afraid. So what lessons do we learn? Many lessons that she recognized, as soon as she recognized that that Krishna and Balaram are the supreme king, she didn't have any fear anymore. She wasn't afraid of reprisals from King Kamsa. But the Dobi was afraid of King Kamsa. Now you compare and contrast the Dobi, who was a Maturavasi, with the Chandanwali. She's a Chandanwali, Trivakra. She's a Maturavasi. She's a servant of the king. So there was the garland weaver. He was making garlands. Sudama was the garland weaver, the Mali. But he gave all the garlands to Krishna, Balaram, because he recognized. He was not afraid of reprisals or imprisonment or punishment from Kamsa. Ah, you gave away my garlands to some coward boys. Cut off your head. It can happen like that. The king gets angry, you cut off your head. The king is above the law. So the washerman, he was indignant when the boys requested him for clothing of the king. What? You stupid? And then he lost his head, he got killed. But this lady, although she was physically deformed temporarily, she had the good intelligence to know that, yes, the best thing I have is this chandan, is the best thing that the earth produces is chandan, and I should offer it to Krishna without any fear. So what lesson? So many lessons. We should learn the lesson, don't be afraid to offer the best thing you have to Krishna, and you'll be the winner, you'll never be the loser. She won. She had a broken up, deformed body, and she became beautiful. But then she didn't enjoy her beauty. She didn't think, well, let me flaunt my beauty and look in the mirror all day and dress in fancy clothes and run around the neighborhood and attract a bunch of loose men. No, she immediately wanted to offer her beauty to Krishna and no one else. And the purport says she was a virgin up until this point. So she wanted to offer her virginity to Krishna and no one else. And she didn't want Krishna to go anywhere, just stay with me. So this is a nice lesson we can learn. Offer the best thing we have to Krishna. Don't be afraid of anything. That's one lesson. And then when we contact Krishna, like Krishna contacted this lady, and then she received more assets. She became more beautiful. She became empowered by the Lord with bodily beauty. And that's a gift of Krishna, a vibhuti from Krishna. So then she didn't think, well, thanks a lot, Krishna. Like, that's what people do. They worship Balaji or Bunky Vihari. And as soon as they get something, then they enjoy. I give a few pittance in donation to Vihariji, but mostly they just enjoy whatever gifts they've been given by God to keep for themselves and enjoy. Oh, God is so kind. Oh, boy, Mahaprasad. Oh boy, we got the Mahaprasad plate, let's eat it all. Not like, oh, we got the Mahaprasad plate, let's distribute it, let's go around and distribute it to everybody. Or somebody brought me some cake and let me sit here and eat it all. But we go out and we don't even take any of it. We offer it to Thakurji, or if it's already prasad, and then we go out and give it to everyone we see. Chokidar, this one, that one, everybody. So this is this lesson that Kupcha. Of course, this is all the Leela of the Lord with his energies, his Shaktis, Bhu Shakti and Leela Shakti. Bhu Shakti Satyabhama coming into Mathura Leela. And then Satyabhama is also in Braj Leela is Radharani, and Mathura Leela is Kupcha, and Dwarka Leela is Satyabhama. So that's all the different energies, Krishna's energies, enjoying in various ways. And that's the whole totality of Bhagavan. He's always enjoying with his energies. Rasuvai Saha. Rasuvai Saha. Rasaraj. Rasaprada. If Krishna distributes the rasa, Rasaprada, then you get that rasa, that bhakti rasa, and then you give it back to Krishna, then he relishes it. Because it tastes even better when it comes from a different container. So when the rasa is within himself, just like the What do cookies taste like when the father goes in and takes the cookies from the shelf and puts them on a plate and sits in front of the TV and eats the cookies? But when the son takes the cookies from his own initiative, without being asked by the father, and the son puts the cookies on a plate, and then he brings them into his father and says, "Father, I thought you may like to have some cookies." They're his energy only. He bought the cookies. It's his money behind that. But when it comes, when that same object of the cookies comes coated with the love of his son, spontaneous, voluntary expression of love without any force, or then it's those cookies are really tasty. So this is the nature of prema. He is the origin of prema, the reservoir of prema, and then he instills it in the heart. And then the devotee offers that prema back to the Lord by his various devotional expressions. Shravanam, kirtanam, smaranam, padasevanam. And then the Lord relishes so much more. Oh, this is my prema, but it's coming from your hand. It tastes so good. And this is always rasaraj, relishing the emporium of rasa. So that's their level, but... And we can only be inspired by the dealings, because it's called Krishna pleases his devotees. So Kusha was his devotee. And we're also aspiring to be Krishna's devotee and become eligible to have such loving reciprocation with the Lord. And we can have that opportunity to have that intimate exchange with the Lord when we come to the platform of offering the best thing we have, whatever best thing we have in our hand, when we're ready to offer it unequivocally and completely to the Lord, then He'll reciprocate with us and come and live in our house. And we can beg, "Oh, don't leave." And of course He won't leave, because He has His devotional expansion in the heart of every devotee. And that way we'll feel Krishna pleasing us. Krishna pleases His devotees. But first the devotees have to please Him by pleasing behavior.
One has to be a devotee.
Yeah. One has to be a devotee, a niskinchan, total ananya bhakt, ananyas chintyanto mam ye jana paripashate tesha nitya bhuktanam yoga kshemam bahamyam. Ananya bhakti, bhakti for one and no others. Ananya, no others, no divided devotion, piecemeal bhakti, wholesale, full 100% Krishna bhakti. And captures Krishna's attention and ultimately captures Krishna's heart. Srimad Bhagavatam ki.